The last topic that we did, which was 2 weeks ago, we missed last week, was on the theme of Higia Zman Velo Nisu. So Higia Zman Velo Nisu means, again, it comes up in the Gemara here, because the Gemara says that, Mishnah says that the proper day to get married is on a Wednesday. And the reason is because, as we discussed, that if there's any kind of accusation against the wife, that they'll be able to resolve it early by going to Beis Din immediately the next day, Thursday, which is the day which Beis Din meets. And then the Gemara says, that one of the nafkaminas will be if it's Higia Zman Velo Nisu, meaning if they penciled in the calendar a year ago when they decided to get married and they actually did the Kiddushin. So they said, in 1 year from now, we're going to finish up with the Nisuin. Right? So, if Higia Zman Velo Nisu, normally the rule is Ochos Mishalo Ochos Betruma. The husband is obligated to provide mizonos, even, she can even eat truma under those conditions. And what the Gemara is telling us is that if it's a Wednesday, if it's not a Wednesday, if it's some other day of the week, then, you know, that provision, namely the onset of mizonos, even truma, will not apply. You have to wait till the next Wednesday because the Beis Din has determined that the proper to get married is Wednesday. Then the Gemara goes on and has a safek about what happens if she's a chola, what happens if he's a chola, what happens if she's a chola, what happens if she's pirsanida. Will you say Higia Zman Velo Nisu under those conditions or not? So we were discussing the last time we met 2 weeks ago was what is the nature of this din of Higia Zman Velo Nisu. And we basically were trying to outline three perspectives and identify the Rishonim that take these perspectives. The first one is that Higia Zman Velo Nisu is a kind of a knas. If it's not a knas, at least it's an incentive. In other words, we want him to move forward with this, not to delay with the Nisuin. After all, there are all sorts of expenses involved in her having been under the impression that she's going to move in with him at this particular point, for him not to follow through constitutes a violation or a breach of that trust, and we want to make sure that he's A, punished, B, has incentive, to discharge his obligation forthwith, and therefore we impose upon him his own. So according to that perspective, we're dealing with a kind of a knas. And for example, it would be unheard of to think that there would be reciprocity under these conditions. In other words, if I'm trying to punish him, it's not the real Chiyuv of Mizonos. There's no sense that there's any kind of even quasi-status of Nesua, but we're trying to punish him. If we're trying to punish him, then being even-handed isn't part of the, isn't part of the consideration. So, for example, we know that there are all sorts of trade-offs in the marriage contract, right? He has to provide mizonos. She provides, her salary. If she goes out and works, so maisei adayim is an exchange for mizonos. And so on, there are several of these trade-offs. So the idea that somehow he has to begin to pay the mizonos and therefore she would have to, for example, provide the maisei adayim, if we're talking about a knas, doesn't make any sense at all. So that's one perspective, and we'll see a little bit more. The second perspective is it's not a knas, but it is an implicit tnai, or at least a chovas Beis Din. Beis Din said that under these conditions, he has to step in and provide support. So you lose the sting of him being necessarily at fault. Moreover, the possibility that there might be reciprocity is something which is no longer inconceivable, because it's not a punishment. It's just a way of protecting her. But her protection doesn't have to be at his financial expense, in the sense that if there's a normally reciprocal relationship, so if we're, advancing his obligation to her, then why shouldn't we advance the reciprocity, the trade-off, as well, just as an example. But either way, even according to the second perspective, Higia Zman Velo Nisu is not Nisuin. It's just the fact that there's no Nisuin. We don't want to leave her in the lurch. She already moved out of her apartment, right? She already gave up her job. She already sold her refrigerator. So we want to make sure that she's protected. We're not punishing anybody, but we're not making any claim that this is Nisuin either. Third option is the possibility that we're dealing with a Miktsas Nisua already, that basically the idea would be that, you know, from the time of the Erusin, the clock is ticking, in the sense that, you know, this is almost automatic. It's true there are two phases of Ishus, but that second phase, while it requires initiation, is naturally attendant upon the first phase. In other words, when there's Erusin, there really should have been immediately Nisuin. And if there's a delay, it's because the Torah, you know, decided to split these things up. But that delay, that artificial, let's say, obstacle, you know, by virtue of the fact that we look at it that way, and that naturally there is a kind of momentum to the Nisuin, so sometimes that momentum, right, takes over. And therefore, Higiyazman Velo Nisu is a Miktsas Nisua. This is going to explain a greater or comprehensive or more comprehensive agenda. In other words, it starts off with Mizonos. Can it go beyond that? A, in terms of reciprocity, like we discussed before, where there are trade-offs. B, what about other areas of halacha? What do you say about ksus? What are you going to say about ona? Right? Is it the same Mizonos as the Mizonos la'achar nesuin, or is it something different? So the point is, the more you look at this as miktsas nesua or tchilas ha'nesuin, the more you're going to justify expanding the scope of this hadin, that's what's included in it beyond Mizonos. Moreover, it's going to be qualitatively similar to the effect of having a nesuin. We should also look under these conditions for formulations in the Rishonim, where the Rishonim say, nesua hi b'miktsas, etc. So we do really find that there's this massive, massive debate about this question. So for example, we saw last time that with regard to Truma, right? So it's Ochos Mishalov, Ochos Betruma. So we noted that there are two ways to explain the Ochos Betruma. On the one hand, it seems very radical and seems to establish that we're dealing with a fundamental halacha, because Truma is a Surah Lazar. So, you know, if she isn't really, you know, Ishto in some respect, then how could she, Abbas Yisrael, be eating Truma? Except that, turns out that was all not a problem at all, because mostly the Gemara seems to conclude in a bunch of places that Dvar Torah Aruso Cheles Betruma. You don't need to be in a Sua for Truma. It's enough to have Erusin, that she's an Eishes Ish. In which case, it doesn't seem to be that significant. However, there is a day in the Ramban, which we read last time, on Daf Nun Vav, where the Ramban says that some of his Rabbeim were of the opinion that there's a view in the Gemara that Nesua alone eats Truma. And that view thinks that Igiyazman Velo Nisu qualifies as Nesua regarding Truma. That is a remarkable shita, one which clearly points to option number three, that we're talking about a Nesuin b'miktsas already. A very remarkable idea. This idea is also formulated by the Tosis Rid, both in his language and in his the substance of his shita. Here on Mem Ches on the base, right, the Tosis Rid explains that look at the second wide line on Mem Chesom and Beis. Again, Mem Chesom and Beis, which is, you know, page 96, 48b. Look at down the Tosis Rid on the right side. Look down and look at the second, the end of the second wide line. I'm sorry, the end of the first wide line. The Haida Kamar Hachala Fuke Hachi Perusho. Everybody have it? Itzrich Li'olam Hibrishus Avla Fuke Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona is the one that says that Higiyas Manvalonisu, the Zachilas Truma, and even, I'm sorry, Mizonos, and even Truma. So listen to the way the Tosis Rid formulates that. Da'avid la ki'ishto l'chol davar. Higiyas Mam Benodisu makes her into his wife l'chol davar. The formulation that she becomes ishto is shocking enough. The l'chol davar is just icing on the cake. Afilu l'truma, Kol shkein lemitziyasa, lemaisiyadeha, uli rushasa. So what you have in the Tosfot is the full package. You have the formulation, right? You have the expansion, right, to Yerusha, Tuma, right, Mitzia, Maisiyadayim, etc. And you have the idea, seemingly, that this affects even the union of Truma. Harehi kishto l'chol davar. So the same idea is explicitly found in the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua, in a bunch of places, here on Memches and on Nun Vav, Daf Ayin, suggests that not only these, but She'er, okay, that's fine, that's included, Ksus, and even Ona, even the physical relationship between them, on some level, theoretically, begins at Higiyazman below Nissen. The Avnei Miluim, I think it's Siman Ayin Beis or Ayin Dalet, in Avnu Ezer, quotes this Pnei Yoshua and is very dismissive of it. Thinks it's against many Gemaras, etc. But the Pnei Yoshua is of the opinion that if She'er, Ksus, and Ona mean Mizonos Daraisa, then the din of Mizonos Daraisa and even the din of Ona and Ksus begins at Higiyazman below Nissen. There are other Rishonim who are more moderate. They say things like Maisiyadayim, Netzia, that's included, but they don't go so far as to say L'chol HaDvarim, like the Tosas Rid, or even Ona, like the Pnei Yoshua. But, for example, the Ritva does say that the Din of Higiyazman V'lo Nisu is a very expansive halacha. Okay. What, say again?
Exclusive Nedarim.
So that's the Nedarim issue, is the sugya that we read also in Nedarim. I think we had the sheets last time. I just forgot to bring mine. The sugya in Nedarim and of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah in Nedarim, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, that records a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. Whether Hafaras Nedarim begins at Higiyazman V'lo Nisu, right? Or it is delayed until actual Nisuin. Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that Higiyazman V'lo Nisu triggers Hafaras Nedarim. So this is the point. In the Gemara quotes Rava or Rabba, two Girsos, as saying that the Mishnah Rishona in Ksuvas, which speaks about Truma, and the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer in Nedarim, which speaks about Hafaras Nedarim, are one and the same. And Abaya says, maybe we should be Mechalek. Maybe we should distinguish between. Maybe we should distinguish between the two. If you look here very quickly, that's the first Mar Makom, Nedarim Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Bogeres Shashasa Yud Beis Chodesh. After the Kedushin, if she's a Bogeres and she waits 12 months, the Almana Lamed Yom, Rabbi Lazar Omer Holu Bala Chay Bimzonoseha Yafer. Right? Since there's a Chiy of Mizonos, there's also Hafaras. Exclusive, as you called it, Hafaras Nedarim. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Abal Mefer Ad Shetikanes L'Shusa. Until the actual Chuppah takes place, there's no Hafaras Nedarim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, that's the Girsa that they have, Rabbi Lazar, Mishnah Rishona, Amar Davar Echad. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we trigger the Hafaras Nedarim by the Mizonos, and the Mishnah Rishona, which says that Truma is triggered by Mizonos, they are one and the same. The Tana knows the Basilian Beis Chodesh the Farnes as Atzma Higiyad Beis Chodesh Ochus Mishlav Ochus Betrum Aval Hayavam in Amachil Betruma etc. Fine. Skip a couple lines. The Gemara says Omalei Abaya Dim Alohi Ad Kan Lo Kash Shmina Mishra Rishon El El Meicha Betruma Drabana Aval Nedarim Daraisa Emalo The Ad Kan Lo Shamas Rabbi Lazar Legabi Nedarim Kedra Pinchas Mishmei Derava Tamar Kal Nedaris Al Das Bala Hi Nedaris. Okay. So basically what the Gemara says is, Abaya says, there's a very logical reason to distinguish these two Gemaras in both directions. Meaning, maybe Truma is just a Dindrabanan, because Minatora Arusa Ocheles Petruma. That's how most Rishonim read this line. And maybe Nedarim isn't such a big deal, because maybe Nedarim is based on an implicit Tanai, that's the Chiddush of Rapinchas, Kala Noderes, Aldas Bala Noderes. So that's a very interesting This is really what we have. So if you look at the Ran in the Darim, the Ran says, Rabbi Elazar Mishra Rishonah Omer Davar Echad, Dikishigi Azman Alinasa Velonises, Kivin Shachai Bala Bimzonasaha, Choshvina Lake Kinesua, Liktas Devarim, Afa Pishainu Vibes Baila. So the Ran says straight out that when Rava or Rabba, whoever it is, says that there's a link between these two things, what he means and the common denominator is that we're dealing not with a knas and not with a chiyuv, we're dealing with a miktsas nesuin, and therefore it has greater comprehensive scope. Okay. The Ramban, however, in Ksuvis, does not interpret that way. If you look at the Ramban, the last piece, the Ramban says, Ikat kashale, Harmina ben Adarim, Amar Rabar, Belazar, Mishra, Mishonu, Domer, Davar, Achad, Tanzu, Mishra, Mishonu, Bechule. The E, Dvar, Toro, Chelos, Betruma, the right, the lake elamishum shem yimzugu kos mainyan adarim l'truma. The Ramban says, I don't understand why there's a view in the Gemara Nadarim that says that the issue of Nadarim is connected to truma. Truma is just going. It's you know hodra, you know ladina, it's ukmadina. Dvar Torah, you know aruso chelus betruma. So we're not saying higi azman is nesua. We're saying that Igi Azman is a situation where an Arusa, like Dvar Torah, can eat Truma because there's no problem that she's going to, you know, give it to her sister or her brother or her mother. Right? What, no?
I just don't understand. That's not right. I just don't understand. As long as she's still
Bevesa Vida. No, because he's Koveya, he's giving her Mizonos now.
Right.
So the assumption is that Kavala Duchta Le Mizonos. Meaning, he's not necessarily bringing the mizonos to her house, where she's been living previously. He's setting it up in a neutral area, right? You're 100% correct. That's what the Gemara mentioned. The Gemara says, since it's kavla duchta, you know, he's giving her mizonos, but he's not necessarily making the trek to her house to give mizonos. It's one thing he has to give mizonos. Does he have to also, you know, make that long trip in the snow and the what?
Delivery service.
Yeah, he's on a delivery service. So the assumption is she's not living at home anymore. The whole part of the problem is, maybe part of the reason for this din, is that really she isn't living at home anymore.
Isn't the Ramban Rabbi Hashway?
How can anyone hold?
Sorry?
Isn't the Ramban the Kashway the Abayi's objection?
Well, no, but it's so basically, yes. But the Ramban is basically saying, I don't understand how Rabba could say differently.
Abayi argues on it.
In Ochanami, but how do you explain Rabba? So it's the Ramban's way of saying, explain Rabba to me, I don't get it. Okay. So the Ramban gives two answers. Yeah.
How can anyone hold that there's a chiyuv omdo without a chuba? A chuba is symbolic
right.
Of the chidisho yurushuso. And that's not going to happen here.
Well, it didn't happen, yeah. But what we're really saying is, the Pnei Yoshua you're asking.
Yeah.
The Pnei Yoshua is basically saying that really the heter isha labala should have begun mishas erusin. We hold it back because of the nesuin, but since higi azman v'lo nisu, we're not holding back anymore.
But there's no if this lishus.
Well, so he's saying it basically is. Min haTorah, he's saying, you know, there's a heter isha labala. I'll give you the mashal ma'adavar domer. I mean, what it's connected to. This is the ritva's pshat. On, you know, all the Rishonim ask this question. In the Birchas Eirusin that we say, we've talked about this a lot, the Nisuin is mentioned before the Eirusin, even though it's a Birchas Eirusin, and it hasn't happened yet. Right? Well, how do we say it? Asher kedishonu b'mitzosu v'tzivanu al ha'arayos. Right? V'asar lanu asarusos. V'hitir lanu asanisuos lanu. Al yedei chupa v'kidushin. And then you say, mekadishim, o Yisrael, al yedei chupa v'kidushin. So all the Rishonim are bothered. They say, I don't understand why it should be Kiddushin v'chupa. Different answers are given to this question. Right? The Mordechai says, because sometimes the chupa is before the Kiddushin. If you think the chupa is the Badekin, so it's before the Kiddushin. Okay. There are different answers given. The Bala Yitra says, it's not chupa v'kiddushin with a vav. It should be chupa v'kiddushin with a vase. Anyways. Well, you can see, he bothered the Rishonim a lot. So the Ritva's answer to this question is, the Ritva says, because really, the Erusin is Matir Isha Labala. just that the Chachamim imposed a limit. They said, you know what? You have to do the chuppah first. But when they do the chuppah, what's really matir isha labala? Theirs. Now, I don't think the Rambam holds that way. I think the Rambam holds that's exactly what's not true. You need erison, you know, and then that's the oser, and then there's a heter isha labala, ayidei chuppah. But we'll get to Shitas Rambam. But the idea of the Ritva is a very powerful idea. For the Ritva, I think, it works very nicely to say, but Igiyas Man Velo Nisu, we're no longer holding back. It's an artificial ikov, and we're not... but I agree with you. I think the Pnei Yeshua is very mechudash. To say even Ona is very mechudash. That's what he says. Remarkable thing. Anyways, the Ramban was bothered by this question. The Ramban's answer is, the Ramban says, no, I have a different answer. The answer I have is that there's a common denominator between Nadarim and Truma, and it has to do with the two reasons that the Gemara gives why Arusa does not eat Truma Midraban. One is, she might give it to her family members. The other one is, since he really hasn't been intimate with her, for all we know, he's going to claim that there's a Mekachtos, that she hid some terrible blemish from him, and the whole Arusin, never mind the Nisuin, the whole thing's going to fall apart. If the whole thing falls apart, there's no Afaras Nadarim, even if it's our Pinchas, and there's no Arusa Dvar Torah Cheles Betruma either. So the Ramban says that, if you look at the Ramban, this is the Ramban's answer. Ramban says, Uli didilo kasha, dila mishnah achrona techeshin ula simpon, according to the mishnah achrona, that we're worried about mekach tos, Hinami lo samcha daita, shemelo timatze chen beinav, veina madera saldas baila, shekol tamu shal davar enel mishum shomru, kon lo deres saldas baila no deres. Basically, the Ramban's clever idea is the connection isn't the status of Higiyah's man as mixas nesuin. The connection is whether or not we're worried about mekachtos at this late stage of the game or not. If we're worried about mekachtos regarding truma, then we're worried about Mekach Tos regarding Hafaras Nadarin, and vice versa. That's Ramban. But then Ramban says, V'rabosai mefarshim, right? The rabba sfirale de arusa le'ocha betruma, el digiazman haynu b'chupa v'nesua. That's remarkable. He quotes in the name of his rabbeim, what I mentioned before, and that is that they hold, against the simplest view in the Gemara, they hold that who eats truma? Not an arusa, only a nesua. Only a nesua? So even higiyas man velo nisu? Yes. Wow. Very big chiddush. Okay. So there are many issues. We discussed a bunch more last time on this topic. What I wanted, I just want to finish up. I want to move on to the next topic. But before I do, I just want to read one tosis, which raises a very interesting question. And that is about a parallel to yibum. Yeah.
His first dating, she's not so much herself. Is she knows
if she has a simple or not? Whether she's so much not. She's worried that he's going to say to her that it's what you have is a and who knows what'll happen in court. You know, once you go to court, there are no guarantees.
She's a beauty contestant.
Maybe she is, maybe she's not. You're assuming everyone is the fault. Or maybe she's just very modest. You're saying Kalanoa, you're saying Kalanoa v'chasuda, no matter what. She, on the other hand, is a tsnua. She's always thinking, I'm not good enough. No, I mean it is a physical one. I mean the din of simple that works. Yeah. Something discernible. It's based on mekachtos, basically. That has to be always...
She has none, so
no, you say she has, maybe she...
knows she has none.
Or maybe she thinks what she has is not a blemish. But, you know, I say, once you get into court, you know, it's always...
He says.
I mean, not in each case, obviously, but, you know, in borderline cases. Okay. So I want to just discuss one more thing. There are many more things to discuss, but I want to discuss one more. And that is Tosis. Lefika chala he who on base on base ain't a mala mizonos. So Tosis raises the following question. I'm just going to read it quickly. Kashalari. Everybody have it? This is the second Tosis on base on base. Kashalari. The Amar Bacholeitz Amad Bedinu Barach Nizonas Mishol Yavam. Gemara says in Yavamos, actually it's the same Gemara here. You can look at it for a second. It's, it also appears here in Ksuvas on Kuv Zayinuid Beis. The parallel Tosis too. Here, the Gemara here, the Gemara says as follows. Second line in the Gemara, last words, Tashma, Hayivama Gimel Chadashim Arishonim, Nizones Mishel Bala. Very fascinating halacha. Right? The first 3 months, a Yavama, and that's after her husband died. What's a Yavama? Right? Her husband died. They had no children. He had no children. Right? So for the first 3 months, she's Nizones Mishel Bala. She eats mizonos from her father, her husband's estate. Mikan ve'elach ena nizonas lo mishal bala ve'lo mishal yavam. She's not entitled to mizonos, not from the yavam, right, who has yet to be miyavim, her, I mean the brother-in-law, nothing has happened yet, and not from the deceased husband. Then we're told, amad bedin, let's say she takes him to court, the brother-in-law. She says, listen, you know, I need to know what's happening here. I'm not going to stay in limbo forever. So Amad Bedin, most Rishonim with the opinion that what this means is Amad Bedin, and he agrees that he's going to be Miyavim. Not everybody agrees, but most Rishonim say that's a pshat. Okay? So she takes him to court. He says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do Yibum. And then Ubarach. Right? He ran away. And we'll see in a moment, the Machlokas. Why did he run away? He ran away from her, or he ran away because the government was after him, so Nebuch, he had to run away. Right? So the din is that Nizones Bishel Yavam, at that point, since he said he was going to, you know, support her, he said he was going to marry her, so she gets Mizonos from the Yavam. Okay. Very fascinating. Now, the question is as follows. It's a parallel to our topic. Because once he marries her, right? So then, of course, he has to give her mizonos b'toras eishes ish. But in a way, it's like an arusa, right? Before higiyazman, before nisuin, but higiyazman, meaning they were in court, right? The bezin said it's time, marry her. He said, okay, I'm going to do it. That's the equivalent of higiyazman b'lo nisu. And indeed, there's a chi of mizonos. So now the question is, if you remember, how did we get into this whole thing? Because our Gemara wasn't sure. What about chola, who? And what about cholsa, he? Right? Does this din of igiyazman v'lo nisu apply when it's not his fault? He's an anus, he's ill. Right? So there are 2 days in the Gemara. 1 day in the Gemara says, it's not his fault, he doesn't have to pay. The other day in the Gemara says, even though it's not his fault, he still has to pay. 2 days in the Gemara. Now, what's the din in Yibum? Well, the Gemara says that Barach. So Barach doesn't sound like he's ill. Sounds like he ran away, right? Oh. So here you have a major machlokas Rishonim. Rashi in Yavamos says he ran away. And Rashi adds the words, and it's a knas. Because he ran away. But if he didn't run away to avoid her, but he became ill, or he had to run away but for no fault of his own, again, the tax collectors are after him, but it has nothing to do with avoiding his responsibility to her, says Rashi, under those conditions he wouldn't pay mizonos. That's Rashi's view. The Rishalmi, we'll read inside in just a second, disagrees. Yerushalmi says, it doesn't matter why he ran away. It doesn't matter if he ran away because he wanted to avoid her, or he ran away because he was an anus and he had to run away, or he was chola. Either way, he pays her the mizonos. This is what Tosas, so look at Tosas.
What's the higiyazman by Yibum? What's the
equivalent of higiyazman and Yibum is when she takes him to court and says, listen, I'm not going to live my life in limbo. Either you marry me or you're not going to marry me. And he says, I'm going to marry you. I'm ready to do it. And then the next day he runs away.
How long does he have to pay mizonos?
Well, that's what I read before. 3 months, she gets mizonos from the deceased husband's estate. And after that, once she brings him to court, he has to pay mizonos. If he claims that he's going to be miyabim her.
So he has to pay mizonos. How long? Forever?
Until he marries her, like he said he would. Right? Or gives her chalitza.
Why does she have to take it to court? Isn't there a Zika already at that point?
Sorry?
Why does she have to take him to court after 3 months? Isn't she, there's a Zika?
No, the Zika just means that she is a Shomeres Yavam and that he has the obligation. But he didn't marry, he didn't do the Yibum. He didn't do Chalitza either. That's why she's literally in lit. The Zika, that's exactly what, you're 100% right. That's what there is, there's Zika. But Zika is not Yibum. And Zika is not Chalitza. Zika means you need Yibum or Chalitza, one or the other. So that's what's really interesting, because we have, you know, this parallel discussion. Here you have Erusin Beli Nesuin, and here you have Zika Beli Nesuin. And basically what I'm going to try to show you one more second is that Tosis is saying, well, whatever's true for one should be true for the other, because they're parallel, aren't they? And then we're going to see in a second that Rashi obviously thinks that they're not parallel. Yeah.
What in the case of Yibum and Boreach, he has the option of
not Yibum and Boreach. He said he's going to be Miyabim her, but it's still Zika and Boreach. Okay. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but go ahead, ask.
Okay. Well, it would seem to me that we don't, that his motive, if he could have done Chalitza if he was no longer interested.
No, great. Then we believe him that he's interested. If he wants to do chalitza, that's fine. He doesn't go over mizonos.
So when he's boreach, there has to be an honor of something.
No, so that's the question. Why did he run away? Did he run away from her? Or did he run away because...
But that's my question. He could give a chalitza. Why would he run away from her? But when he has the option of giving it,
I don't know, because it's a very unpleasant thing. Maybe there's a lot of pressure. There could be various reasons, right? Whatever, that's what happened. Anyways, so look at Tosis for a minute. Lefikach chalahu ena malam zonos kashaleri damar bachole. It's the Gemara says an achole. Same Gemara that we just read. It really comes from Yavamos. Amad bedin, right? She took him to court and said, "Listen, either give me yibum or give me chalitza." Right, Ubarach, after saying that he's going to be miyabim her, he runs away. Nizonas mishal yavam. That's the din. Umefarish birushalmi says Tosas. The Rushalmi explains Barach v'hu adin chala. We don't really mean dafka Barach, meaning that he ran away from her. We mean onus, meaning he got sick or he had to run away from the government. By the way, running away from the government, you know, obviously is had a totally different connotation than running away from the government today, right? It's like running away from the government in a backwards country where the presumption is that the government are the culprits, not the fugitive, you know.
Unfortunately, some people have forgotten that that's...
Exactly. That's like the last week... That's like everybody thinks now too. So that, like, it's kind of insane, but okay, 100%. Mefarish Birushalmi Barachu Adin Chal. V'Hachar Minan says Tosis. First, they start off with the opposite question: the Chala Ein Ma'ala Mizonos. When it comes to Arusa, right? There's a machlokas in the Gemara, our Gemara, whether or not Chala Higias Man requires mizonos or not. So if we say that we don't, how could the Yerushalmi say that we do in the case of Yibum? Omari, Hosam Chala Obarach La'achar Shaman Bedin, Shekvar Nischaya B'mizonos, Avalacha B'chala Kodem Agozman. So to the first question, Tosas gives an important answer. Tosas says, listen, it matters when the illness took place. If the illness took place, right, before the onset of the chiyuv, in other words, let's say the year, since Erusin is going to take place in 2 weeks, right, 2 more weeks for the year. And then a week later, he becomes ill. So he was chola before the Giyazman. So Tosa says, oh, that's a whole different story. right? But if you have a situation, that's a story of our Gemara, basically, right? But if you have a situation where Higiyazman, and then 2 days later he becomes ill, so what are you going to say? Oh, you know, he only has to pay mizonos for 2 days and not for everything beyond that, right? That we don't say. Okay. There's a very interesting Or Sameach on the Rambam here says, you know, something quite opposite of this. Or Sameach says, if it's a knas, right, so it isn't necessarily just to punish him from the past. It also might be to provide incentive for the future. And then he says, and one of the differences will be, how do we look at this kind of knas? Is it something which is a one-time frozen knas that began and continues, or is it something that, you know, renews itself every single day? Every day you look at it again. So, for example, let's say he was chola, right, at a certain point before Higiyazman, but being chola after Higiyazman, or continuing to be chola after Higiyazman, maybe that's already considered like being chola after Higiyazman. In other words, the fact that the chiyuv began a week ago, you know, is that the Bali Tosis are assuming that that's relevant. Maybe every day, you know, you reassess. And once you hit beyond the calendar day, it's like chola lachar shehigiyazman. Anyways, that's an interesting point. Ubekuntris, then Tosis goes on to say the following. Ubekuntris pirisham dafka barach. Tosis there in Yavamo says only if he runs away from her. Aval chola. Or Barach Machmas, you know, Hamadina or whatever, lo. So Tosa says, Ve'enira, Kinemashim Birushalmi. Number one, it seems against Yerushalmi. But moreover, Le Perusho, Ein Lahakshos, Me'ika Deboy Lomi Bai, Amaila Pashad Lomi Hasam. Here in our Gemara, we're saying there's a view that says, that what? That even Chola, right, is obligated. So if Chola is obligated, how can Rashi say in Yibum that Chola is Potter? That's Tosis's question. Good question, right? Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. So listen to Tosis' answer. Yesh lomar da rusaso agidabe tvei miyavemto kidomini biyavamos become a duchti. A very interesting point. We're talking about a parallel, right, situation. Meaning a situation where it seems like we haven't consummated, let's say, the Nisuin, right? What we have in one case is Erisin, and we're waiting for the Nisuin to be completed. In the other case, we have Zika, right? And we're waiting for the Yibum. Says Tosis, but for Rashi, these are not parallel. Because in the case of Yibum, in the case of Erisin, Arusa Zagida Bey Yoser Mizika. Now what does Rashi really mean by that? That's in general a very important question in the Hilchos Yibum too. But let's take it back to what we were talking about. And that is, I think, what you could say is as follows. If you look at Rashi and Yivamos, and Tosus and Ksubis Kavzaino and Beis, and Tosus and Yivamos, the impression that you get is that in the case of Yibum, this is certainly a knas. Does this din that when she calls him to court, he says, I'm going to be miyavim her, right? And then he doesn't? That is a punishment.
That's what?
Why? Because there is no yibum before it's time. I mean, what are you going to say? Hare, you know, if they went to court, so hare kihi ki'ilu misyavemes. Iker, right? Choser, in terms of the maisa. He asked, there's no maisa yibum. Bishlom in the case of Erusin, what I just said a couple minutes ago, which is, maybe Nisuin is a kind of Maisa de Mimela. And maybe, in theory, Erusin should have accomplished Heter Ishalabala and Chiv Mizonos, if not for the fact that the Torah decided to split it up. And that's why we say, you know what? He gives Mamblo Nisu. We're no longer going to insist on this obstacle. She's Miktsas Nisua, or according to Tosis Rid, practically Nisua L'chol HaDevarim. That's because there is an Erusin which was done as an act of volition, meaning he was Mekadesher, he made her an Eish HaSish, Beratzon. And she agreed, okay, there's no Nisuin, the nisuin or mitzvahs of the nisuin can come with the calendar date. But in the case of Yibum, even though there's Zika, he didn't do anything except say that he's going to. What are you going to say? Harehi kvar pimiksas, you know, misyav emes. He can't say it. Because he didn't do a single legal initiative. Right? And therefore, the only way to explain the chiyuv mizonos in that case, Rashi will tell you, is midin knas. But if it's knas, then it's only when he's barach, not when he's chola. And I think that there are other nafkamin as well. The Bali Tosus assumed, maybe, that that's not true, that, that the two sugars are one. The Ramban in Yevamos explicitly says that, I don't understand, what the whole Rashi and so on is about. Higiyaz man, belonisu, and Amad Bedin, Nubarak, it's the same din. Exactly. Both are knossos, or both are mixas nisuin? Guessing both are knossos, but. Yeah, there's a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
It says that the first 3 months she's ochel mi bawa. Afterwards, she does it. Right? But if there are no children, doesn't she yarshin the husband anyway from the estate? Why doesn't she, as an almona, doesn't she yarshin the entire estate?
Well, it depends who else. What's that?
There are no children.
She doesn't yarshin the husband. She yarshin the brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
she doesn't yarshin all. Minat Torah, she's not yarshes.
She is or she's not?
No.
She's not.
Goes to the brother.
Or, right. Yeah, because there are no children.
So a wife is worse than
in case of you.
Benoslavka? A wife is worse?
No, Benoslavka is a different story. Benoslavka is that the daughters are yarshes if there are no sons.
Right, but
otherwise,
no,
as opposed
she
to
has, she has no children.
As opposed to brothers,
she has no children. So, why doesn't Yarshin her husband?
No, I'm saying because that's there are no children.
No children. A wife.
Well, no. In the case of Bnei Tzlofchad, you're asking about mother Tzlofchad.
I mean,
the wife of Tzlofchad.
What
does that have to do with
Tzlofchad?
No. That has nothing to do with a woman. As you're asking about Ishtar.
A wife does not Yarshin her husband.
Not Minat Torah.
So it goes to his father?
Yeah. A son, a father.
Okay.
So it's if you look at the, I just want to get into it right now. If you look at Sugi and Yevamos and Mem Aleph Amud Beis, so Rashi there discusses, or the Gemara really discusses why Yibum or Zika is different than a regular Alman. You're right. That's a good question. But that's exactly what they discuss in that sugya. Okay. Now, let's move on to the next Gemara. Yeah.
Borach. We didn't learn Borach at all, but it had to do with this Erisin and the Suez.
There's no Borach here. But what we did discuss is Chala.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens in the case of Chala is Borach.
For what reason was he Borach? Would it make a difference when you had Erisin and the Suez?
Right. Well, whatever we're saying about Chala, the Rishonim are assuming that Chala is the equivalent of Barach Machmas Hamedina. Because it isn't voluntary. Right? But Barach Machmasa
got cold feet.
That's Pshia. Or that's Knas. That's Knas. Anyways. Yeah.
Years ago, when we learned, I think it was in Baba Kama, we talked, the Rav mentioned the kind of a situation where nobody was guilty.
Nobody was?
Nobody was guilty of anything. The question was, do we look at it from a point of view of an insurance, or do we look at it from a point of view of some kind of culpability? In this case...
You mean Shomrim?
I guess it was Shomrim.
Could be Shomrim in Baba Kama.
So look, here, there's a loss. There's some kind of law.
To her.
The question is, to who do we, who carries the responsibility for that loss?
Right.
So it seemed to me that there was an analogy between that thing. Somebody's going to lose out. And the question is, who's going to bear that?
Right. So let's go back to my three, the three options that we discussed. Right. The first one is that, he pays mizonos because... You know, he fell down on the knas. He fell down on his responsibility. He's a poshea, basically. What?
So we attribute it to him.
We attribute it to him. The second one is, but that could only be if you know, for really serious, not just attributing about that, that he, you know, he wasn't chola, and certainly not in a case where she was chola. You're not going to say nistapcha sadehu, even, you know, mazal chagorim in any sense if you're talking about a knas, right? The second possibility is, listen, she sold her refrigerator, she gave up her apartment, and she resigned from her job because she wants to be a full-time wife.
Exactly.
So, now that's kind of what you're talking about, right, which is, you know, somebody's got to pick up the slack here.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's to blame, but it does mean that it falls to him. Now, when the Gemara says about that, nistap chasadeu, meaning it's your chiyuv piravivya, therefore it's on your, you know, this has come part of your responsibility, mister. You didn't do anything wrong. Right? It's the Ramban idea, more of the tough luck. You know, bad luck for you, mister. Not that's when I say bad luck to you, doesn't mean that it's your fault.
Right.
It just means that it's, you know, it's going to be your responsibility. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the third option basically says it's not about blame,
right,
and it's not even about responsibility. It's about perceiving this as the real, you know, a dimension of, or partly a real marriage. And then those dinim that, you know, that flow from that are going to flow from that. But in, what all I'm pointing out is that you have this exact parallel in Yibum. But in Yibum, there's a lot less reason, you know, to a lot more reason to think it's knas, and a lot less reason to think that this is, you know, nisuin, early nisuin, than there is in Erusin.
Yavama Bas Yisrael does not eat truma, correct?
Say again?
Yavama Bas Yisrael does not eat truma.
Yavama Bas Yisrael.
Even though her husband was a kohen, he doesn't eat truma.
Okay.
She was married to a kohen.
What?
She must have been married.
The husband died.
He died.
She's eating. The brother's a kohen, she's not married to the brother. She's just a Yavama.
Okay.
But an Arusa does eat truma. With her ex.
So you want to throw the show that Agida Bay?
Compare one to the other. They don't even come close. Even if he does mamar, I don't think she eats truma.
Well, mamas is in drabanan, so
agreed, that's not. But I don't think she eats truma anyway.
I have to check. I don't remember.
I mean, but an arusa would, and even a shemeres yama with mamar would.
Meaning that there's no question that in certain dinim, arusa is stronger. I mean, what Tosa says, which is arusa is agida. What Tosa is saying, arusa is agida. But not with regard to everything, because on, you know, it also depends how you understand zika and yibum. Right, because Yibum is Bal Korcha. Remember that also. So what we're saying really is that the Zika, you know, does a lot. Right. I mean, the Sfarno in his Perish Al HaTorah says the Zika is like an Erusin. But it's more and less. It's different. Because it's passive, you know, so it's both more and less. But it's an interesting way of highlighting it. Yeah.
She had a contributor from Masiya died to the estate. Those
in the Yibum?
She's Ochelis Michelle Bauer. You know,
right.
He passes away.
So presumably.
She had to give her Masiya died to the estate.
I mean, in a regular case where she's Ochelis, I believe so.
So the first 3 months.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. So let's continue on to the next Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, okay, this is at the two dots, Ula Inyan Gitin Enochein. What does that mean, Ula Inyan Gitin Enochein? I mean, the context was that the Gemara was trying to figure out if you have Higiyaz Mam Velo Nisu, but you have an onus like Chole, right, whether or not the din of Higiyaz Mam Velo Nisu will apply despite the fact that it's onus. And mostly it seemed like the Gemara was saying, no, maybe not, right? So the question is, what about when it comes to a t'nai and a get, and you have an onus? Look at Rashi for a minute. Rashi says, ul'inen gitin enochein, alafikach koi. Dashmina, we learned, she'ikvas ha'ones, potraso, min amazonos, that if you don't marry her on time because of illness or onus, that your pater mimizonos, meaning there's legal significance to the excuse, not excuse, to the rationale, the justification of ones. Ones and others is a legal category which plays a role here, but le'inyan gitin Ein tainus ones mo'elas. But with respect to gittin, meaning, as we'll see in a moment, if a person makes a t'nai, right, I'm going to divorce, you know, if I don't, this divorce is chal if I don't show up in 30 days. And he doesn't show up in 30 days because of an ones. So as we're going to see in a few moments, it seems like the halacha may very well be that even though he didn't show up, since the reason he didn't show up was because of an ones, therefore the get is not going to be chal. Okay? Im nosan get li ishtal benas, im lo avos, sorry, chadzman ploni, yehe get, venenas, velo ba, hareza get, ve eni achal omar anus hayisi. In other words, we're trying to figure out here, is anus a proper justification? Does it change anything? Or does the reality, the contractual reality, koveya? So with regard to Giyas Mamalonisu, it seems like mostly we're sympathetic to the view that Ones registers, meaning that if he can't do this because of an Ones, he's not obligated. It's a good excuse. In other words, Ones is a good proper justification and excuse. And yet the Gemara is saying when it comes to Gittin, right, if he ends up, you know, fulfilling the conditions of a get accidentally, right, there, we don't care that it's an accident. We only care that lemaisa, the conditions have been fulfilled. That's what the Gemara means when it says the words, Amarava ule inyan gitin enochen. We distinguish between a get and higiyazman balonis. Fine. So the Gemara says, Alma kasava rava, enonis begitin. What we seem to be saying from here is that the concept of ones is irrelevant in a case of get. I mean, it doesn't matter whether there's an ones or not. When it comes to gittin, we care. Did he do it? Did he didn't do it? Objectively, what happened? Not why. We don't care why. We only care what. Okay. So the Gemara says, Minale l'Ravaha. How does Rava know that we ignore ones and we only care about the fulfillment, the technical fulfillment of the condition? How do we know this? Maybe it's from a Mishnah that says, Harei ze giteich. Here's your get. Im lo basi mikan vad shnemasar chodesh. Okay, he gives his wife a get. He says, this get is going to be chal if I don't show up in 12 months. Right? It's whatever he was worried about. Aguna, let's assume for a nice get, right? You know, a proper, you know, a get, you know, it's what the Levush called a get me'ava. You know, so shilotis agin, she shouldn't become an aguna. So he says, you know what? If I don't show up in 12 months, so here's a get. Good. Umeis betochid beis chodesh, and he dies within 12 months. So the din is ain't no get. The get is not chal. Right. So the Gemara says, but problem is, that's mesu, they no get. In the case of mace, there's no get for a different reason. Right? What's the reason? Because ain't get la chamisa. Right? Whether it's based on shlichos or it's the din itself. Meaning, if he's no longer alive, he can't. He died 3 months ago. You can't have a get bichal 3 months after he died. Once he died, he can't be the balaget. There's no ishus anymore, for that matter. Right? Hachala, but let's say he didn't die. Let's say he's just sick. So he didn't show up for 12 months. It should have triggered a get. But the reason he didn't show up is not because he's dead, but because he is sick. So now we want to know whether or not that's extenuating circumstances or the facts are the facts. Right? So the halacha would be, harei ze get. Even though, I mean, the facts are the facts, even though there's extenuating onus circumstances. That would be the makar to teach you that ein onus beget, that onus is not a factor when it comes to gittin. So the Gemara says, no, that's not good raya. The dilma l'olam eimen l'cha cholonami eino get. Maybe any onus, right, is a factor and neutralizes the facts on the ground, even when it comes to a get. Aye, so why is the case, right, where there's no get, a case of mace and not a case of chola? He gufa kamashma, and then get lachar misa. Because this mishnah wasn't out to tell you this din. It was out to tell you a different din. And that is that no matter what, Ein get la'achar misa, meaning a get can never be chal once the fellow is dead. Again, you can have a get me'achshav la'achar misa, because that really the zman of the chalos get is before he died. But once he dies, he can't. There can't be a get. Okay. But in a chanami, if we were talking about chole, then that would be extenuating circumstances. Even though factually he completed his t'nai, we wouldn't consider it a proper completion be'onis. That's what the Gemara suggesting. So the Gemara says, "Ain get la'achar misa, hatana l'resha." We don't need this part of the Mishnah for that. We know that elsewhere, because the Reisha says, "Hareza giteich im meisi." It's my get. It's only going to be chal if I die, or "Hareza giteich necholize." Here's a get if I die from this particular illness. So the din is "Hareza giteich la'achar misa lo amar klum," or he says "la'achar misa." So we see that the din is that ain get la'achar misa. So then, the seifa, we don't need for the din of ain get la'achar misa, and we might as well have said chola if we felt chola was the equivalent of mis. So the Gemara says, dilma la'afuke midrabosenu. Maybe the seifa teaches you something else. That is, the Tanya Rabosenu hitirua linase. Vamina man Rabosenu, Rabbina Mashmuel. Beidina de Sharu Mashcha. Savala Krabiosi Damar is Manashal Shtar Mochiachal. This is the view that as long as you date the get, right, if you say, I'm giving you this get, there's a date written on it, you know, for Chmeis, whatever it is now, December 8th, right? And let it be Chal Achar Mosi. Right? So this view of Krabiosi is, since you wrote a date in the get, even though he didn't say the words me'achshav, in retrospect, by writing the get, what you meant was that if I die, then from now, December 8th, let this get be chal. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. To teach you that we don't paskin that zmano shall get mochiachal. So the Gemara says, elam seifa. What we can learn from the seifa? Maybe the seifa could teach us this din. What does the Sefer tell us? Me'ach shevim al-basi mikan bad yudbeis chodesh. Right? If I don't show up within 12 months, let the get bichal for now. So now that eliminates the issue of en get la'achar misa. Because no problem with that. U'meis betoch yudbeis chodesh, and he dies within the 12 months. So the rule is harei zeh get. That's a proper get, because no problem with en get la'achar misa. So the Gemara says, meis v'huadin l'chola. It's considered to be a proper get, even though the reason he didn't show up right after 12 months is because he was dead, right? Or he was a chola. So what we see is that we ignore the extenuating circumstance. The fact that he didn't have the ability to show up right at a certain point is not relevant. What's important is the fact that he didn't show up. In other words, we're going to be strict constructionist according to the Tanai that he set down. We're not looking at the whys and the wherefores, why he didn't show up. That he didn't show up is all that matters. Oh. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a very good raya either. Because Dilma may stop gedelon nichalid tipol kamayavam. Maybe, you know, Chanami, if there was a regular ones, that would be an extenuating circumstance. And we wouldn't apply the actual strict letter of the law. However, what we're dealing with here is dafka, the case of mace, because even though ein lecha ones gadol mimisa on one hand, on the other hand, it's not difficult to read his mind, as I said before, and to see that this is dilo tipol kame yav. What would he want? The defis chole. And therefore he doesn't make it, he doesn't want to get divorced. He wants to show up, right? And he couldn't show up because he's a chola. So we're trying to figure out, you know, are we going to read his mind? Are we going to say that onus is an extenuating circumstance? Are we going according to the strict condition of the law? Fine, that's an open question. But in the case of Me'achshav, Ulachar Yud Beis Chodesh, Umeis Betok, and there's no problem of Get Lachar Misa, the reason that there's going to be a get is not necessarily because we're going to be strict constructionists on the law. It's because he doesn't want the onus of Misa to be Ma'akev the get. Because if he does that, then she is no Feles Kami Yavam, and he would prefer that she not be no Feles Kami Yavam, but it be a clean cut, you know, Gerushin. Right? And then, one more time. That's what it means when it says, Dilma me stafka dilonicha de tipal kame yavam. By giving her a divorce, right? When the alternative is, you know, allowing her to be muteres from him based on the Misa, he benefits her by not putting her through the ordeal of Yibum.
Just didn't want
her to be in the college.
What's that?
Just didn't want her to be in the college. He just, yeah, same idea. Right. Sorry?
But I mean, then she's forbidden to a Kohen,
though. Well, either way, she's... I mean,
can't marry Kohen either way.
She can't marry Kohen either way, I mean, after that. Right? Ella Meha. Tahi Damala Ilo Asina Mikana Tlasin Yomin. So we have another... Brisa. What is that? Right? Ahid Amar La Ilo Asina Mikana Tlasin Yomin La Havikita. If I don't show up till 30 days, right? It's going to be a get. So this is a famous case. Osabasov Tlasin Yomin. He shows up at the end of the 30 days. Upaska Mivra. And the bridge is fallen. Amalahu Chazidasai. He's screaming and yelling and he's waving his hands and he's saying, look, I'm here. But he's not here because he can't get across the river. Right? Clearly he wants to. So meaning he does not want the divorce. That's what, and if he wanted the divorce, he wouldn't be screaming Chazidasai. So Ones is preventing him, right, from negating the conditions that will trigger the get. And what's the din? The answer is the din is Omar Shmuel Lav Shmei Masya. Right? Even though Ones is responsible for fulfilling the Tanai, the Halacha tells us that we don't consider it as if he came. It's considered as if he didn't come and the get will go through. So what do we see? Ein Ones beget. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma onus deshchiach shiny kibdi boy le lisnuye v'laasna ihu ihi rather daafsid a nafshe." Maybe there's a difference between an onus which is anticipatable because it's a more frequent onus. It can happen that the road gets washed away or that the bridge falls down. Right, by not anticipating that, right, he or she. Whatever the case, in this case, he basically has to suffer the consequences. As if you have an unforeseen onus, and it's not a lack of responsibility or implicit that you know he is happy or satisfied with this, because otherwise he would have provided for that contingency which he should have foreseen. He should have said, you know what, unless the bridge is out, unless transportation is not accessible. Right. I mean, I assume in the ancient, even in our era, traffic jams, certainly occur, and sometimes even, whole systems can be down. But certainly in the ancient world, right, the idea that it wouldn't take much, to torpedo a trip, and that's something that you should anticipate and build in if you're really serious about it, that it's a contingency that doesn't happen so rarely. It's probably true. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that this is onus d'shchiach, and an onus d'shchiach chav l'esnuye v'lo asnin, therefore you afsid anafshe. Ella rava svar d'anafshe kamar. So then the Gemara comes with a big chiddush. The Gemara says, you're right, we can't prove this din one way or another. Meaning whether onus matters, when it comes to fulfillment or lack of fulfillment of a tanai or not. We can't prove it one way or another. But really, Rava had something very different in mind to begin with. What did he have in mind? Not that Ones doesn't really qualify as a significant factor, right? But that there's a din, there's a takana. Rava svardinashe ka'amar mishim tznuos and mishim prutzos. Rava was saying that Ones is not given the legal status to undermine a get. In other words, if the conditions of a get are met, even though they're met because of an ones, it doesn't matter, because it would be disastrous to start worrying about and considering the conditions of ones. Why? Both mishum tznuos and mishum prutzos. Because there are wives who, you know, are very refined and admirable in their caution and their care, you know, in their fidelity, you know, to their marital vows, and overly so in some cases, and they can create problems for themselves. So the problem with the tznuos is, as the Gemara is going to explain, mishum tznuos di amras lo lahaveget, what are you going to say? But in the case of ones, he didn't come. He said, im lo basi ad la medyom, arez aget, right? And he didn't show up for 30 days. So the tznuos, A, are likely to have a more positive, let's say, idealistic view of their husbands. He didn't show up for 30 days, but not because he really wants to divorce me. Right? Probably the bridge fell down. Okay? She's going to hang around for years. Right? Make herself into aguna. Zinin de lo anis. Really nothing happened. The savra de anis. But she thinks must be, or maybe, either she's being melamed too much schus on him, or she's just really so cautious and careful about Eishes Ish that she's saying, listen, I don't know about him. Probably he meant to divorce me, but I'm not going to take the risk. She has so much yor shemayim. So da'anis, ume egna, biyasva, she's going to sit there for a long time. But we, the Jewish community, we want to protect her. Right? Especially because she is so, you know, admirable. You know, we don't want her to fall prey to, you know, her own goodness in a way. It's a very fascinating Gemara. That's Mishum Tznuos. Therefore, across the board, they decided that Ones is not going to be a factor. We're just going to be objective. Because if we're being objective, you know, then we can, you know, we can proceed more efficiently. Well, so, you know what? He didn't show up 30 days. Doesn't matter why. You don't have to start second guessing. Maybe it was an Ones. Maybe there was a bridge. Maybe it was, he didn't show up. Al Pidin, the get is trigger. Similarly, Mishum Prutzos, Diamris Lola Havigita, if you want to say that in the case of Ones, maybe if the get is triggered by an Ones, it's not a proper get. Zimnin da Ones, what about the cases where there really is an Ones? The Amra, and she'll assume that what really took place here is the majority, not the minority where there's Ones, but the majority where there's no Ones. She's impatient, right? She'll say lo Ones. But Azla, she'll say, oh, I'm a free woman. Right? Because he didn't show up in 30 days. So I'm free to marry whoever I want. But Azla, she goes out. Uminsava, she marries someone else. Then, of course, 10 days later, or 2 years later, when the bridge gets back up, or whatever it was, or whatever, he shows up and he says, oh, I never meant to divorce you. And I can prove that on Yom Lamed, or the last few days, whatever it is, it wasn't possible for me to reach you. Therefore, Igloy Milsa Lamafreya, that the get was not Chal, that she's an Eishes Ish. Meanwhile, she's, you know, had this whole other marriage with some other person. I wouldn't say thinking B'tmimus Liba that she was divorced, but definitely she wasn't standing on ceremony, you know, worrying about it too much that maybe there was an Anus. And therefore, what's going to happen? Imsa get Batel and Baneha Mamzeri. So because of this factor of Tznuos and Prutzos, therefore we paskin that ain ones beget. Well, you're not going to start with the whole ones business. We're just going to say objectively that the circumstances determine in their own. So then the Gemara says, I just want to finish the Shach HaVatari and then we'll break it down next week. But the Gemara says, wow, can you do this? Why they wanted to do it, we understand. Mishum Tznuos, Mishum Prutzos, fine. But can they do it? What are they really trying to say here? That Minat Torah, yesh ones beget. Meaning, if I make a t'nai that will trigger a get, and that t'nai, right, ends up happening because of an ones. We'll see when we discuss next week. Is there a difference between happening because of an ones or not happening because of an ones? It'll say it didn't happen because of an ones. Here, it happened because of an ones. Right? So, al pidin, meikra d'dina, medaraisa. What we're saying is there's no get. Because the get only got triggered by an ones, and an ones doesn't qualify. Ones legally cannot trigger a get. Okay, fine. And what did the Chachamim come along and say? That it is a get. I mean, a Torah it's not a get, but Midrabanan it's a get, and she can go out and marry someone else.
So she's an
Eishes Ish min HaTorah. The Chachamim can say all they want. The Chachamim don't have the ability, right, to defy the din of Eishes Ish. That's the question. So that's the famous, this is one of the famous Gemaras, a few famous Gemaras in Shas like this. Umi kimidi de midaraisa lola beget, right? Minat Torah, there's no get. She's an Eishes Ish. Umishum snuos, umishum prutzos. A very noble causes, but still. Sharina an Eishes Ish li alma. It's not like, you know, confiscating $100. They can't, personal status is personal status. You can't mess around with that, seemingly. So the Gemara says, in. Yes, you could. How do you do it? Kol mekadesh. Adata drabanan mekadesh, right? Tosa says, we'll discuss it. Lachein omrim b'shas kiddushin kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, right? That's what you're supposed to say. If the chachamim approve, that's really what it means. V'afkin rabanan lekiddushin minei. The chachamim do have the ability to uproot kiddushin. Wow, what a license, right? So I'll have to discuss that. Then the Gemara says, "Amalei, you know the Ravashi, fine, Tanach the Kaddish Bekaspa. Maybe we could understand this, although barely, if the Kiddushin takes place with Kesef. But the Kaddish Bebiya Maikel Meimar, and where if the Kiddushin took place Bebiya, you can uproot that too."
Sure.
So the Gemara says, "Yeah, Shavu Rabbanu Lebilasa Bilasnus." They turned it into Znus. So we need to understand all of these things. There's a lot to, on our agenda, on our plate. This, let me finish up the Shakavataria. Then the Gemara has the exact same Shakavataria, but going in the opposite direction. Gemara says, Ika Damri. This is another version of the whole Shakavataria. I'm just going to run through it, it's the same thing, but going opposite. Amrava v'chein linyan gita. No. Onus works in meaning onus is a factor to consider in Tanai, and get. That mean that he holds that in Gittin, ones is a factor, is consequential. That's what we say, right? The implication is that if he was only ill, that it would be a get, right? Even though it's an ones. Gemara says no. The only name of the Chalonami ain't no get. The Gufa Kamashman ain't get lachar misa. Gemara says, ain't get lachar misa. Hatani the Resha. Gemara says, the Resha, Dilmala Fuke midrabosenu. Right? Exactly the same Shakavataria. That's why I'm not translating. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, Ami Akshavim Labosim Ikanad, Yubes Kodesh, Umes Tokid Bes Kodesh, or is a get. My love, who are din lachala. Gemara says again, lo, neistafka de lo nicha de tipo kamayava, only a mace, because he doesn't want her to be in a state of zika. Toshma, he don't really yasin a mikanad lamin yom, la vigita asa besof lamin, paskam bivra, the bridge fell down, amale chazid asai, chazid asai, I'm here. Shmuel said, lo shme masya. The Gemara says, no, onto the shkiach shiny. Kim di boy lasnu, yev lo asni, should have predicted it, and he didn't, iu da afsin anavshe. Okay. So next week I want to discuss this problem of onus b'tnai, and then after that, Yesh Koch Be'ad Chachamim, Lakar Davar B'Natar.